You're listening to the Periodic Table of Awesome podcast, bringing you the best of geek from week to week. Join your hosts, Dion and Quinny, and the occasional special guest as they talk movies, TV, gaming, toys, comics, and everything in between.
Let's go.
Let's go. It's absolutely 100% time for the Periodic Table of Awesome. I'll be your collegiate person, Dion.
Your what? Your collegiate person.
Collegiate person. Is that out? No, I'm not sure. Like, I've run out of...
You ran out of adjectives.
I did. I guess. Yeah. Look, I'm still confused about Severance. Look, to be honest, that's it. All right. Okay, fine. Everyone there. I'm confused about Severance.
Okay.
To me, Severance is something I try to avoid. Mm. Especially if my boss walks in and goes, "I would like to discuss Severance." And I'm like, "Please no."
Yeah. Unless there's an extraordinarily good package to go along with that Severance.
Yeah. Well, we just watched Milchick. That was quite a package that went along with Severance.
Indeed.
And as you said, Jill, that man can move.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Hello to Jill, and hello to Quinny, and hello to me.
Hello.
We're here, and hello to everyone in the chat. Yes, that's right. Talk about Milchick doing the march. That's what we want.
Yeah. We love Mr. Milchick.
His Milchick brings all the boys to the yard.
Yeah.
Karina made that joke, sorry.
On this very special time of a Wednesday podcast, because we had to go to a screening last night, which we will talk about. And add it to the end of the podcast. But first, we have the first of our TV roundups. Yep. Ooh. Oh, where was? Oh, fuck! I don't have a whip crack. I could have had that. Yeah. Where's this?
Sorry. If I'm going to be friends adjacent. Whoop-a.
Oh no! Gross.
Ew. I'm sorry.
Ross is the worst character.
I thought that was
Was it a Chandler thing?
I thought that was a Bing thing, yeah. Because I'm pretty sure Chandler couldn't say
second worst character.
Yeah. Hey. Hang on, so Ross was the worst.
Mm. Wait, this is
okay, no, we're not going to get into this. We're going to get distracted.
I don't know, because I'm intrigued to know your rating system.
This is going down a road we can't do. Like, there were too many episodes of Friends, and I haven't watched enough of them. No.
I like the Pritikangas on where it's like, we're power rankings. Let's go. Where do we put Gunter? No, we're not going to do that because it's a terrible show.
Yeah. Okay, from bottom to top, we got Ross, we got Chandler, we got Monica, then Rachel, and tied for first is Joey and Phoebe. Done.
Okay,
great. Thank you. Thanks, Jill. Jill's power rankings of Friends. Please go for her in the chat, not here.
I'm concerned that you can put Ross as the power bottom, however.
Yes, tonight, the first of the because we're doing another roundup after Easter when we're all full of chocolate.
don't
make us podcast, we're full of chocolate. Which will again...
Isn't that child's name Gunter as well?
Yes. top tier intersectionality. There you go. I love that.
That soup Nazi has bosoms.
This is our millennial power.
We can mash up anything if we try.
Quotability of 2000s TV.
Right. No, focus, team.
Okay.
We're doing Severance tonight and also Reacher Season 3 and Invincible Season 3 and a little bit of talk about a movie we went to last night, which is called Sinners, which, yay, if you were paying attention, I may have added to the show from last week, but it wasn't out, and I forgot that. When I put it out, and then I amended that when I was like, oh, yeah, fuck, I've done that a bit too early. But we've seen it now, which is good.
Yeah.
Right.
And spent the time with the television that we all know and love with all these seasons.
Yes. The warm glow of the LEDs.
The warmth. Yes. One of those flat screens, as usually call that. Yeah, that's the warming section of my house.
Yeah.
Now, okay, hands up, and let's be honest about all of this. Who's seen all the television that we're talking about tonight? Severance?
Yes.
Yes. Yay. Okay, great. Reacher?
Yes!
A little bit.
And Invincible?
Boo.
Oh, okay. So, would you- right.
Oh, I do feel really bad about, because I really enjoyed season one of Invincible, and then something just made me go, I've had too much nihilistic superhero stuff around about the time that the season two came out, and I just watched a bunch of The Boys, and I was like, I can't do this. I can't do the violent superhero stuff.
Right.
So look, it's still there, and I've watched a little bit of it and gone, oh, okay, right, now I see where we're at.
Well, I'm here to spoil the entire narrative for you if you haven't got around to it. So we just, you don't even have to watch it. I watch it so you don't have to.
Brilliant.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you.
Amazing. Well, since we watched the interesting trailer, even though some people haven't finished Severance, that's going to make that tough. Yeah, it's like, oofed. I talk about it as a thematic thing because I don't really want it spoiled because it's still fucking confusing for me, but I just kind of like how it's crafted. That's how I'm going to review season three. And if you, like, you don't want spoilers, hey, you know, I understand if you have to drop out, that's fine. But I will want to discuss a few things. First, goats. What the fuck's up with the goats?
No. Mammalian nurturables.
Correct.
I saw the greatest reel, and it was someone pretending that they're like the writer on Severance, and they're like, I just gave them all these ideas. I don't know what's happening. What am I going to do? They keep telling me to do all this stuff, but I don't know what I'm doing. I'm like, yeah, that kind of... That's it, you know? They just threw everything at the wall.
Yeah.
It's like, are we going to get explanations for some of this stuff? Probably not.
I mean, you know, and I did require the recap. Thank you, for love of God, people who make recap episodes, even the actual show. Yeah. Like, hey, did you miss everything? It's like, here's the recap. I'm like, oh, thank Christ. Yes, excellent. That brings all stuff back. You know, they'd gone out and their innies finally got to be outies for a little minute, and then they were discovered that they were innies and outies and all this kind of problematic stuff. And it came back.
The overtime solution, and there was the whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah, and it was good that they did that and dropped us back into the world of Lululemon. Lumon Industries.
Wow, you've ruined that for everyone now. Congratulations.
I just love the idea that the activewear company is kind of like Lumon Industries from Severance. It's like, no, faster, sleeker, tighter. You know, it's kind of, you missed your paperclip on this edge. It's like, oh, okay, right. I mean, yes, this more, like, I liked, you know, it always left you with questions, and this season too, like, yeah, it kind of answers one or two-ish in the terms of, like, what have people been doing, but did it actually answer any questions about what the fuck is going on? No.
No.
Still no. No.
And left it very open. Like, I was impressed by the last sort of sequence, the ending, if you will, because... Sure. If you ended the series there, it would feel completely like complete, you know? Yeah. You'd be like, okay, that was an ending.
Yeah.
If you don't end the series there, there's still shit tons of stuff and there's a heap of questions to still be answered.
Yeah.
And you can explore a thing for another one, two, three, whatever seasons. But if it did end on that last shot, you'd be like, fuck, righto, shit.
Like, it's not a terrible place to end, but, like, also, I want to know the resolution. We've got to. I mean,
we kind of got half of a resolution, didn't we? And then it was like, oh shit, okay, well, now where are we going to go, and what kind of answers are we going to get next season?
Yeah. Mm. And like, what is it all about? And who the fuck is this cult of Kier who does all of the weird shit and founded, and what does it mean? And still don't really know what that was. And, you know, even though they kind of explained what the numbers were, they still didn't really understand what the numbers were.
No. And like, we kind of have a pretty clear idea as to what was going on with the whole Cold Harbor thing and what Gemma was doing, sort of. But
yeah, sort of, but not really.
Not really. Like, you know that she's been had multiple severed personalities or experiences or something like that. That's pretty clearly explained. But why?
Yeah.
And what does being able to sever a person multiple times actually do to a person? And
the whole, like, yeah, it's just like, is a severed personality a real person? And
oh man,
all that kind of stuff. Yeah, those things were explored quite well.
There was a fucking great sequence where the two halves of Mark were talking to each other.
That was great.
Yeah,
I really enjoyed that.
I like the way that they did it. I like the whole thing of, okay, you've got a video camera, you're talking to yourself piece by piece. But at the same time, I really love the questions they're asking. Like, you know, so just because you were here first, does that mean that you have more right to exist? Do I just stop existing? Where?
Yeah, yeah. All those fun things and more.
I have to say, I lost a bit of respect for Mark in this season after seeing what Gemma went through in her outie life. I think Mark was a bit of a piece of shit, to be honest.
But does that not also raise more and other interesting questions that people are, like, the innies seem to be the best versions of of their outie counterparts.
They seem to kind of be a bit purer, don't they?
Yeah. And that is an interesting kind of thing that put out there, you know, that's why they have a very structured, rigid system inside, is because we're here to help you be your best. And it's kind of like, yeah, well, they are kind of their best. Like, it looks like a good kind of deal, because outside, most of the time, everyone's a bit of a piece of shit.
What can Homogeny do for you?
Yeah, would it feel nice to not have to worry about your history or your past or whatever? Yes, it would, apart from the fact that you don't know that you didn't have don't have any of those worries. So you've got to worry about is the things in front of you.
Or never being able to see the sky.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or like sort of constantly being barraged by radiation that's making sure, like, you know, waves of something that's making sure that you're in one personality at a certain time. Hey, I don't know. I'm still putting shit together.
There were some great moments in the season, though, like the moment where Irving made Helly reveal, like the whole thing of Helly reveal in the what was the Opto or the
out of
business. I don't remember what it was called.
Yeah, it had a particular thing, but that was a hell of a thing. Like, that was a fucking great sequence. And I love the fact that they then, the next episode, you're like, oh shit, how is this going to play out and everything? And the like next episode, they're like totally fucking blindside you with a history episode, which has got nothing to do with anything else.
Yeah.
You're like, fuck yeah.
Ortbo, that was what it was.
That's it.
Outdoor retreat and team building occurrence. We're going on the Ortbo.
Weird things in that too, like you know, the other versions of the lead cast, which like the weird pointing versions of the main innies. Who the fuck were they? Were they weird clones? Are they robots or what? Who the fuck knows? The thing I find funny about the show more than perhaps anything else is that you could, if you wanted to, spend at least 5 to 10 times longer watching the new Rockstars fucking recaps and dissections than you could the entire show.
I mean, you know, I don't want to.
An hour speculative video after an hour speculative show is, probably not how I want to spend my time.
I got to say, in this season, though, I really enjoyed the expansion of Patricia Arquette's Cobell character. Yeah. Gave her a little bit more to work with because she was a bit bonkers, but I still think she's doing a great scenery eating sort of thing.
She's having so much fun.
And Seth Milchick, I like his growth as a character too, has been really interesting.
Also, the race elements that were kind of coming into it in the corporate industry and like that kind of conversation. That, like, he's not exempt at Lumen from that kind of bullshit.
Yeah. And I love how it's presented. It's just bullshit. Yeah. It's just kind of like, oh, this is just corporate bullshit.
Mm. But the way that it is sort of shown in that, through the not even microaggressions, they are like macroaggressions, but they are like still veneered with corporate, you know, approval. We're going to give you this beautiful set of paintings that are the history of Kia, but they're going to be black Kia. And
because that's for you.
That's for you. And the look between the lady who's the voice of the board and him, there's so much shit going on that you're just watching. Fucking great acting too.
Yeah.
Like, oh.
Natalie is that character.
Natalie, thank you.
Yep. Look, you know, Severance is continuing to be tense and weird and strange, and some people don't like it. Some people really fucking hate Severance.
Yeah.
As I found out recently, I was like, oh. And some people don't even know where it is because it's on Apple TV.
Yeah, but I feel like it got a lot of exposure with this second season. It really popped off on social media.
Massively.
Yeah, that's good. Maybe that's what people are figuring out, like, oh, it's a show about corporate drones? I'm a corporate drone. Maybe I can. Oh.
I think a lot of people assumed it was going to be a real comedy. Like, because, you know, you see the name Ben Stiller, you see Adam Scott,
John Turturro.
John Turturro, you're thinking, oh, is this going to be like an office comedy in the vein of Office Space? No, it's really not.
I mean, it's kind of like Office Space. You're one character until something happens and then you're another character.
Yeah. Okay. Yes.
Is there
a red stapler in it?
I hope there fucking is.
There needs to be.
Yeah.
I've
stationary affordable. That department.
I'm looking forward to the next season, and the best thing that I'm happy about is knowing that it's not going to be another fucking 3 years.
Yeah, good.
Yes, paperclips, that does indeed count.
Yes. Great. Even more weird, even less explained, even though they did a whole season with more of this story, I am still as confused as ever, which is a good thing for a show. You know, it's shot beautifully. Everyone is, like, the production design's amazing. I love the money that they've spent on it.
The cinematography and stuff where they... Like, there are a couple of episodes, like the opening sequence of the first episode of the season where he's running through all the corridors.
Yeah.
Fucking incredible. Mm-hmm. And then I think somewhere in the middle, there's a couple of, it was the episode that was shot entirely by the DOP. And that episode has some spectacular cinematography that's all in camera. And there's a bunch of it that everybody was like, what do you mean that's in camera? Like, because it's bits where the camera would fly up into the ceiling, down through the middle of the thing, through all of the pipes, and you'd see all the internet pipes and everything like that. And then it'd come out in the middle of a sequence in another room. And it's like, what do you mean that was fucking, like, in camera?
Which episode was this?
I think it was episode, I want to say 5. Let me... just double check.
Like, I didn't know that. I mean, there's always probably stuff that's chucked in there. I'm watching going, hey, fine episode. And I'm like, wow. Oh, okay. Right. That was all one shot or something.
It was the one that was all of the flashbacks to Gemma and Mark's life.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah.
Chicky Bardo?
Yes.
Right. Oh, good to know. Now I want to go back and watch them again.
Mm, so, yeah, directed by Jessica Lee Gagné. I'm going with that pronunciation. And, yeah, if you can find any of the making of stuff for that particular episode, in fucking incredible. Like, she's been the DOP for the whole show, and that episode she was said, you go direct the actual episode. And she just fucking knocked the shit out of it.
Cool. So.
There was another feature that I saw, and I think it was the episode where they were all returning to the office and they were coming down the lift one by one. So they were coming into the Lumen office, going to their locker, and then going to the lift. And it matched up second for second with an episode in the previous season that must have been the last one. And it's timed to perfection coming out of the lift into the foyer downstairs at Lumen. That was amazing as well.
Yeah.
Just the attention to detail in the series is like another reason to watch.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a TV show that is, you know, reveling in the fact that it gets time to tell stories and, you know, really stretch people and creative.
Mm.
And I love that. And I think there's that feeling that it could very easily have been like another Lost, where it's like, I don't know what the fuck's going on. There's a smoke monster.
Yeah. I mean, half the stuff they chucked in Lost was never explained.
Nope. No. And the writers apparently do love Lost because they reference it quite regularly through like different numbers on screens and stuff are the numbers the fucking the bunker. But
I hope not. I mean, considering there's been $200 million on it.
Wow.
Yep. Like, that's the publicly available figure. Like, you know, you're getting like they've spent more money on something like Avatar, but still.
You know, yeah.
I would rather watch Severance season 1 and 2 again rather than another Avatar.
Are you trying to tell me you're not excited for Avatar, something of fire and ash?
What? No, I'm equally as excited as I was for the first Avatar, which was quite excited. And then I, 20 minutes in, I was like, what is this? This is not what I was thinking. Did they just call something unobtainium? But they picked it up. It's obviously obtainium. You're holding it in your hand.
When you refine it, it becomes obtainium.
Yeah, absolutely. Either that or it's a quantum kind of material.
What would you call a mineral unobtainium when it's sitting in front of you? It's like, that's unobtainium. So I can't touch it. Like if I go to the quantum thing and my hand will pass through it. Correct. It's like, nope, you can just pick it up.
It's Schrodinger's MacGuffin.
Yeah, I was going to say Chekhov's tanium.
I thought you said Chekhov's taint.
I also love now. It's like we've strip mined the resources from our planet. Now it's time to come and kill the indigenous population of another planet and take their resources. Like, oh, we're the bad guys. We're always the bad guys. Colonialism. All right, I think is that enough about Severance season 2? There's not really any spoilers in it. It was more like, how did that go? I was like, great. Keep going. Yeah. I want more.
I like Gwendolyn Christie. You know,
yeah. Yes.
I'm glad she got to do some stuff.
Yeah. I mean, she didn't even really understand what the goats were for.
Nope.
And I like that. I like actors who are like, I don't know, but it was fun, right? It looks great.
Yeah.
There's something going on there.
Do some stuff.
And I also.
One thing I will say about it before we leave it, I was bemused by the fact that they did more advertising for the show after it had aired than they did while it was airing or before it.
Weird.
Yeah. Like they did big like press events and big activations. Like there was heaps of shit. Like they did an activation in Sydney on the fucking steps of the Opera House after the show had finished airing. Yeah, it was really weird. Like they did all of this stuff with, at the Haley Center and stuff in the US where like they had marching bands come in with Milchek leading them and all sorts of shit like that. And it's like, I think they've realized, oh shit, this is now sitting there permanently. So we need to drive people to it.
Mm.
but it's just a, such a weird thing where you're advertising after.
Yeah, look, I like it. Also, sorry, I forgot to say shout out to Dijon Lockman. Finally, we get to see her doing a little bit of acting properly, which is great. And we get to see Tremel Tillman, Mr. Milchek, soon in the next Mission Impossible, or the last Mission Impossible film, apparently.
Oh, really?
He's in that too, yeah.
So oh, that's, really?
Yeah. Yeah, apparently he's his main character in that one. I was like, oh, okay, great.
Nice.
Cool. So we just, Severance, go see it. Keep talking about it. It's great. It's an art piece. It's not like Game of Thrones, which is like, here's some sex and dragons and, you know, oh, cool things and stuff. Like this one's like, oh, here's something for your brain.
Mm. It's funny. Somebody said, I think we were talking about it, like, you know, when the show finally has enough faith in itself to stop doing sex scenes. You know, like the when a show has jumped the shark, this is the opposite of it's gotten over the hump. But I like the fact that Severance didn't feel the need to be shocking or anything.
No.
It just like, I'm going to reel you in with interesting shit.
I know. I love that House of the Dragon had to do an underground fuck club.
I was going to say they haven't done that yet.
Yeah, yeah. No, Severance. They did. They did in House of the Dragon. I think in...
Is it competitive fucking?
Oh, it was some weird, like, orgy sequence where... who's the Doctor Who? There's a Matt Smith. He took that Australian actress...
Supergirl.
Yeah, Millie Alcock, into, like, even though they're related, like, you know, niece and uncle, and into this weird orgy
scene. Incest is nothing new in Game of Thrones.
No.
They just chuck it around nowadays. They put it in, you know...
White Lotus.
White Lotus. We're not talking about White Lotus, though. We're going to talk about...
this season, or in fact, any of it.
Which one are we going to do, Reacher or Invincible? Which one? Which quick, make a choice, make an assessment. Right, fine, it's Invincible.
Yeah.
Over the last 90 days, Mark's speed has increased 65%, his endurance 70%, and his strength 138%.
Me! Way to make a fellow superhero feel inadequate. Glad it's not leg day.
You feel like trying out those new muscles of yours?
Sir, we have intense geological events all over the country.
Are you working with D.A. Sinclair? He turned people into monsters.
You don't waste people like that. You reform them. You killed Angstrom Levy. Should I lock you up too?
You know that was different.
Mark, we can be the good guys, or we can be the guys that save the world. We can't be both.
Kid Omni-Man is here!
He told me the O was for Oliver.
Cecil, I can never trust you with either Mark or Oliver's lives, no matter what.
Ouch.
Oliver, you gotta look out for other people.
You guys are in big trouble!
Aw, you wanna call for help? Too bad.
You're outnumbered.
And outclassed.
And out of luck.
And now I say something!
With you on our side, we can win this war.
I'm not on anyone's side. I disgraced my people.
So help me, Mark, and whatever that other kid's name is, stop the Empire.
What are you hiding in here?
The White Room is for my protection.
Protection from what?
From you, Mark.
Is that all you got? I will never work for you again. We're done.
It's time for a change.
In more ways than one.
You look amazing.
I don't know. Feels a little serious.
But it's not serious. It's 100% not serious. It's Invincible Season 3, you know, hot on the back of Invincible Season 1 and Invincible Season 2. We've got Mark. He's back. And he's invincible. Or is he?
I don't even fucking remember how much of this shit I've watched. I know I watched the first season. And I know I saw it there sitting on Prime again. I'm like, oh, yeah, I should go back and watch that. And then, like, I queued up the next episode. Don't remember what season it was. And I'm like, yeah, no, I fucking hate this now. Bye. Turned it off.
Wow.
Yeah, look, so I'm not going back, unfortunately.
Jill's review, not going back. But we will go back to Reacher.
years.
Moving on to the other one.
Reach for old Reacher.
Look,
my word.
As being the only one who's seen it, we'll just this will keep it short and sweet.
Okay, I want to ask you before you dive into it, Dion.
Sure.
So, what was season two like? Because we're talking season three of Invincible.
Yeah.
Here. Was season two good enough to keep you going and go, I want to watch Invincible season three? Did you enjoy it?
Not particularly, because it was kind of split up into two parts. Like there was, it was kind of a double parter, and it didn't, it just introduced a few more people and didn't really resolve anything. Because, you know, it's Mark, he's a teenager. He finds out his dad is evil Superman. That's shocking enough. And then dad fucks off. And then he's talking about coming to terms with his power and, you know, trying to, you know, hook up with his crush, which is Adam Eve. And then during season two, everything goes fucking sort of haywire, and he eventually tracks down his dad and finds out that his dad has had another kid. And so he has a stepbrother, but his dad gets, you know, arrested basically by the evil people. It's very complicated. There's lots of shit going on, but it was a bit disjointed, and I only watched season three, I have to admit, because it was easily digestible and I was doing other stuff and I kind of had it on in the background. So I was playing a bit of catch up, like, hang on, what under that? Who's that character? Why is this going on? What's going on there? But season three, I think in this one, its strengths really lie with the moral complexity of superheroes, the ideas of superheroes, and deciding what is good or evil in a grander scheme of things, which is, you know, much not really what you're expecting from a cartoon with dick jokes and other stuff. And you know, like, I have to say, everyone has growth. So it's interesting to watch. Characters that are like cartoonish stereotypes have reasons and justifications or growth or understand things. So I think season three was actually quite good. Like, yeah, it kind of, I think it fixed a lot of the issues that it sort of wrote itself into in season two.
Okay.
And sort of came around to a better idea of who are these people and why are they doing what they do, and is it inherently evil or good?
Because I remember really enjoying season one. Like, I found it shocking, and I liked the, you know, in that time, the ultra violence and that kind of thing. And Omni-Man was a really, you know, interestingly explored character of what if Superman was actually evil as fuck. And, you know, that was cool. And for some reason, I don't know whether it was because I tried, because they also released an Adam Eve standalone film or something just before season two. Yeah, a
mini-series or something like that, wasn't it?
And I think I tried to watch some of that and was like, oh, no, I don't know. And then I just never quite hit my stride on season two. I was just like,
Yeah.
And therefore, I dropped off by season three. So I watched the trailer for this and I was like, I have no fucking clue what's going on.
Yeah, look, you know, it's interesting because it's a lot of moral complexity. I feel like each of these characters is doing their best. Like, you know, people are doing growth. Like, what's his name? What's the character that I was thinking about in particular? Rex. That's right, Rex. Voiced by Jason Mantzoukas, is crazy stuff, you know, from every show.
I was gonna say, does he play a wild and crazy character?
Yes, he kind of does, who's a bit of a dick, but then, you know, realizes that no one really likes him because he's a bit of a dick and goes to therapy and starts to work on himself. And it's like, it's a really interesting thing.
A man
thing.
Willingly took himself to therapy.
Yeah, and works on it and slips up.
Clearly not a real man.
And slips up and does dumb shit. And then
goes, punch walls.
Yeah, that's kind of what it is. That's what that character was presented with in season one. That's the kind of the character. He's a complete dick. It's just kind of, it's an interesting thing. Like, you know, most of the people are doing growth. And then, you know, it's interesting. I found I got more out of it, even though I wasn't really paying attention. And I can sort of recommend it. It was good. Season three was quite good. About that. I think season two was a bit of a misstep, but season three is quite good. And there's some kind of shocking moments in season three that have got a game-changing ideas for the world in that world, which is kind of cool. But also the return of a few kind of throwaway characters that are kind of cool. And, you know, even Omni-Man is having, you know, kind of growth, which is interesting. Yeah. And it made me feel understanding for some of the other characters too. It was good.
Nice. Okay, I'll have to give... I'm actually, after seeing the trailer, I was like, maybe I'll try and give that a bit of a look.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, that unfortunately does mean I've got to try and watch season two. So.
Yeah, look, I mean, Cecil Stedman had a really good explanation and arc in this one. Rex has a really good arc in this one. You know, it introduced not Negan. Who's the guy who plays Negan in The Walking Dead?
Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
Jeffrey Dean Morgan, that's right. He's in there as basically the same kind of thing, but like the Omni-Man Negan, who turns up at one point. So you remember in the first season, there was that thing where Omni-Man takes his son and like pushes his head through like a train carriage, and it's really terrifying.
Mm.
They kind of upped that a little bit because there's this other guy. Like there's an Omni-Man, like, you know, what do they call them? Not Omni-Man. They're a whole race.
Yeah.
Viltrumite. Yeah, Viltrumite. That's right. He's a Viltrumite, and he's like the enforcer Viltrumite. When a Viltrumite isn't doing what they're supposed to do, they call in like the wolf, and he shows up, and he does, you know, lots of bad stuff, but he doesn't care because he's just like, I'm a cannon. But then you have some weird sympathy for the character. I know, you have to watch it. It makes sense.
Okay.
I can't convince you all to, but anyway. Go and do that. Yeah. Surprisingly, I got more out of season three than I thought.
Okay.
Speaking of Amazon Prime stuff.
Are you ready for a reach around?
Yes!
No, I don't want to reach around for it. Well, I would actually have to reach around him because he's so fucking big. But all right, we'll go to...
Just huge.
It's man candy. Man candy time.
I've never been so jealous of a fork in my life. You have any thoughts on dessert?
Mr. Regent, we're looking into the owner of a rug import business called Bazaar Bazaar.
Let me guess, DEA thinks he's in business with bad people.
You know him?
I thought I killed him years ago.
What did he do to you?
He didn't do anything to me.
Maybe we can help each other out. Carry on my wayward son. I have a plan.
Undercover informant. There'll be peace when you are done. Mr. Reacher, your record is impressive. Bench press proves nothing. Elbow on the pad. Don't you cry, no. Reacher and I fought. Sorry, hand slipped. Welcome to the team, Reacher. I'm in.
And that's your chance to prove you've earned a keep, Reacher.
Exactly how much danger is this job putting me in?
You gotta get out of there.
How much time do I have?
I don't know.
Who are you up against, Reacher?
Long story.
How often do you do this?
Every so often.
I'll figure it out. Why you do what you do? Because you hate the big, the powerful, who think they can get away with things. So you make sure they don't.
You just figured that out?
He's large and in charge.
He is large, but he's not the largest man on the screen in season three.
No, they actually found a bigger dude.
Yeah.
I was very impressed by that.
Yeah, because I think like Alan Richard in real life is like 6'6 or something like that. This dude that they found was like 7'4 or something stupid.
It's been a good decade for really big dudes. Like, you know, there were two in Game of Thrones. Now there's, you know,
yeah, and he's not even one of them. Yeah. He's another big dude.
Some other gigantic dude.
Yeah. All it does is it, like, every time I see a season of this show, I watch this fucking, like, Reacher, I just get reminded that Tom Cruise Z's ego made him think that he could play Jack Reacher in not one, but two movies.
Two movies, and the second one was so bad.
I never watched either of them.
They're terrible.
Like,
and the second one, even more so.
Oh, God.
Like, just shocking. Like, definitely daytime straight to television movie level quality. No. Like, bad. Bad. But yeah, I dare you to watch that movie and then go and watch season three of this show.
I don't want to, because I don't like the idea of, like, you know, Tom Cruise. Like, you look at it and you think, there's nothing about that guy that says that guy.
Yeah. So look, like, at the start of 2023, I started reading Lee Child books, and I started from the very first Reacher book, and I started making my way through it. Mind you, I'm only like halfway through his catalog of books until I moved in onto Very Smart, but that's another story. So I started reading all of the books, and I had read the first season of Reacher is based off the very first book. So that was fun to like go and watch that show after having read the book and like compare them, basically, because who doesn't do that with the source material?
Yeah.
But then when I got through the books and I was like, oh, wait, this was the one that they based that first Tom Cruise movie off. All right, well, now I'm going to watch the movie. And then, like, kept reading. I'm like, oh, this was the second Tom Cruise movie. Okay, now I need to watch that one now. And I'm like, ah.
I didn't even realize. I was unaware of there being a Jack Reacher 2. And now I'm like, Jack Reacher, never go back. No.
Yeah.
I don't want to.
And you did.
It was a very good book, but the movie, like, absolutely ruined it.
I mean, but, we're talking about this Reacher. The guy who's, you know, Alan Richardson. Sorry. He's 6'2". Yeah. He was also Hawk from Hawk and Dove.
He was.
And he was also Aquaman a very, very, very long time ago.
He was also Raphael in the Ninja Turtles movies.
Yeah. There you go.
And someone, wasn't he in Friday Night Lights or something? I don't know, some high school football thing anyway.
Possibly.
Who knows? Like, you know, he's just a man mountain who, you know.
He is. And, like, that's Reacher's job. He solves problems by being the largest guy in the room.
Kind of does. And then he chooses one lady to which romance in each season as it keeps going through, as I've noticed too. And I'm like,
and look, oh God. I'll tell you, in the books, it's always fade to black. You never get any of the juicy stuff because it's written by a man, and men don't know how to write sex scenes.
Yeah.
So Lee Child did not pretend that he could write a sex scene, and he just cuts away. Yes. And unfortunately, they kind of cut away in the show too.
A woman comes and kisses Jack Reacher. Fade to black.
Yeah,
I do not know
much.
What happens after that. I do not. But I will describe him punching someone into 1,000 pieces.
Yeah, the bloody broken bones you'll get in gory detail.
Yep.
No penetration.
This is why America is the way that it is. Let's be honest here.
Oh yeah.
Look, it's kind of rinse repeat. Season three.
Yes.
And I had to admit, I got a little bored. I know. All right. Is it kind of offensive? You know, season one was interesting because it was the establishment of the character and I kind of got that. And season two did a really interesting job because it showed him what was he like at, like, before when he was in the military.
Yeah.
He kind of had
a team. Honestly, I think the choices of books that they have adapted were spot on. I enjoyed that. They stuck with the first book because, you know, it's the introduction. But I do like that they chose the one to go back to that is one of only a very handful of the Lee Child books that actually gives you Reacher's past. So, that was a good choice for season two.
I thought that was interesting because it put him in the team dynamic and made him work through that. And that was kind of good. And this one, I feel like he kind of was but wasn't. And I got a bit.
This one was great. We got Neely again. I love her character. Mm-hmm. And yeah, he's always kind of teamed up with somebody to just solve his little.
Sure.
See, Karina in the chat is asking a question and one that I actually was going to ask as well. Mm. Is it better than season two? Because I heard a lot of people say that season two dropped off, like, was nowhere near as good as the first. And I can't comment. I have not watched much of it at all. I've watched a couple of episodes of season three because I was like, okay, let's see where we're at. Turns out it's exactly what I thought it was.
Season two did kind of drift away from the storytelling that the book did. So I did find it not as great. I do agree that season two was probably not as polished. Because, yeah, they made some choices. I was like, oh, that they didn't do that bit. Oh, that's strange. Oh, it's not really following the way it was before. So I don't know. Maybe it was just the screenplay adapter took some liberties. Who knows?
Yeah. I mean, there's always a thing where you go to TV as well that, like, you know, the episodic format means that you have to stretch things out. I mean, I learned a harsh lesson on Preacher. Not Reacher, but Preacher. you know, where I watched that and went, oh my God, I know the comics really fucking well and this is nothing like them.
Oh, okay.
Like the entirety of season one of the Preacher TV series is half the first comic book.
Oh, okay.
Like the first 20 page fucking floppy. And I was like, this is fucking ridiculous. What's going on here? Mm. It picked up its pace. But yeah.
Karina's saying that she didn't vibe with him as part of a group in season two.
See, I did. I thought it was more interesting to see that. But, I mean, hey. He's supposed to be a loner.
Yeah, exactly.
Who just kind of rolls around and fights crime. These ones, it just seems to be getting more and more about like, oh, it's a big thing. He's doing something for like a big crime. And I want to get back. No, just one of the more middle America stuff, like walking past someone and going, hey, you're doing bad. Punch to death.
Yeah. Look, I'll recommend the books to you, Dion, because there are a lot of those. Like there's a great two-parter that went over two books where he's like literally stranded in the middle of America during the middle of winter and is like uncovering like this huge military scam.
But you said there's no incredible. There's no smut, so why would I read it?
Oh, all right, well, I'll lend you my fairy books then.
Yeah. Much better. Gonna get on board with that. And then I'll be sitting there going, it's just lots of sex. When are they gonna punch someone?
Yeah.
When are they gonna solve a crime?
Can't win with you, bro.
It reminded me a lot of a movie that came out a few years ago, Walking Tall. Did you ever see that? That's Rock.
Familiar. Yeah, with a piece of 2x4, which took a lot of took a lot of liberties.
Yeah. But yeah, that idea of just this person who is just a fucking massive unit walks into a small town and then small town dickery happens and then he smacks the fuck out of them with either a 2x4 or his gigantic ham-shaped fists.
Yeah.
You know.
I feel like it is funny that you keep saying about his massive unit. Like, I do watch each, like, love interest in each season just kind of, I feel like the actor is sitting there going, I don't even know how to attempt
literally
this.
Climbing him like a tree.
Yeah. How do I do this? Piece by piece.
Yeah.
One step at a time.
It's good. Alan Richardson's still doing a bang-up job of being Jack Reacher. Like, I look at that and I'm like, yeah, he's Reacher. Like, that makes me 100% work for it.
Yeah.
I really did enjoy the bits in the first episode where he faced off against Paulie, the 7-foot-something fucking giant, though, because you're just like, that's going to be a big thing for the end of the season, isn't it? It's going to be Reacher versus the giant. And
it was fun seeing that come to life because, it was the first time Reacher encountered a dude that was bigger than him. And it's like, well, you can't punch your way out of this one. Like, so you got to use your brain.
Yeah. I had to admit the way that he finally beats Paulie was a good fight.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, and no spoilers there. It's fucking Reacher. There's going to be a season four. For Christ's sakes. You know, it's Jack Reacher.
There's like 30 odd books. So. Still got a lot of content.
Essentially, how long until Alan Richardson said, I'm done?
Half
of course. I have loved the fact that he's campaigning so hard to be Batman.
Yeah. And also, like, you know, half the production budget must go to keeping Alan Richardson looking that fucking size. He is a fucking gigantic man.
Yeah.
Mm. Also, I don't want to see him as Batman. I do not see him as Batman.
No, me either.
I thought Batfleck was pretty close.
He's too jacked for Batman.
Yeah, unless you're doing like some of the very specific Batman.
Yeah, maybe like
Dark Knight
Batman. Returns or something.
Kind of. Yeah. He'd be a better Bane.
Hmm.
You know who I'm looking at him, I would have thought he would have made a fucking great Venom. Like a comic accurate Venom.
Yeah, true.
You know, that just massive fucking
not frame. You didn't think Topher Grace was a good enough Venom?
But like, was Eddie ever that jacked, or was it just when Venom took over?
Eddie's fucking massive. That's like, he is always this gigantic dude.
Yeah, that's why Venom was there.
Right, okay.
Mm.
Yeah. All right. Look, you know, Reacher having a great time. They're good. Now, we just, okay, last up, Sinners. We went and saw Sinners last night, thanks to Warner Brothers.
Sure.
Amazing. It was great. Yes. And I would like to go and just play the trailer, the only trailer that you should watch
before going to Sinners. Yes, don't look for any other trailers.
Do not look for any other trailers. Just watch this trailer only, and we'll do it.
I've been all over this world. I've seen men die in ways I ain't even know was possible. Hey, brother. Be careful. I will. With all the things that I've seen, I ain't ever seen no demons, no ghosts, no magic. Till now.
Hey, get back inside.
Let me in, man! Shit going on out here.
You keep dancing with the devil. One day he's gonna follow you home.
Are you ready to sin? No,
I already did.
So much.
Ooh,
yeah, very specifically, only watch that trailer and then go and see the Sinners film. Do not watch any other trailer.
Yeah, because there was another trailer and it kind of gives away the clincher of the movie. Like,
yeah. Well, not really.
Yeah, it was a bit annoying.
Not really the clincher. Like, I watched that trailer, which I think everyone who kind of went to, and went, oh, interesting. What is it about? It seems to be something. There's got to be something going on there. And I like that vague idea of it, and I went, this seems stylistic. It's great. It's an interesting story. It's saying something. I want to see it. And then the other trailer is like, here's the plot. And you're like,
I'm not sure which one I've seen. I've definitely seen the one that we've just watched. Yeah. I think I may have looked at the other one.
Yeah.
Because I said a word to you and you're like, so you've seen that trailer. I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Look, I
wasn't aware that that was a problem. But
now, without too many spoilers, because I don't really want to spoil it too much.
No.
Because I feel like the vibe of it is excellent.
Yes.
It's just, it was
doing
better,
too much.
It was better when I didn't know certain things. But that's also to say that this thing is a really great film. Like, as it stands alone, I feel like it's a really good cake that someone has over-decorated a little bit with a bit too many ideas in certain strange places, which just kind of like, don't need that.
Yeah. Didn't I think we got about halfway into the movie and then they did something and I looked at you and I was like,
yeah.
Did they need to do that?
They didn't need to do that.
And then it kept going. I went, all right, we'll just move past that. We'll keep going. I'm like, oh, this is really good. Yep, great. And then we got like two endings.
Yeah. Oh, it definitely had a Return of the King problem.
Oh, no.
But that's
so
okay.
So it kind of ends at the credits, and I'm like, yeah, that was great. Loved that. And then after the like first little part of credits, we get like another 2 or 3 minutes of story, and I'm like, didn't need that.
Half the audience had walked out, and then and we're like, oh, that was the end. And then people were like, oh, and then it's like, oh, it's keeping going. Oh, okay, right.
Yeah.
Look, Jill, you had a good time, didn't you?
But it was still a really fun, good, enjoyable movie.
Yeah, it's a ripper. Okay. It's a ripper of a thing. I don't know what it's trying to do. Like, I think someone knew what it was trying to do. I think Ryan Coogler and Michael B. Jordan knew what they were doing. Like, they knew what they were doing. And I got to say, hands down.
Performances were fantastic as well, by the way.
Yeah, like Michael B. Jordan playing twin brothers, or not twin brothers, but like just playing brothers in this.
They were twins.
I don't know if they're twins, but sure.
They were twins. They were fucking called Elias and Elijah. Like, nobody names like their two sons from different.
But
you know, they're not cousins.
They were distinct.
They were joking.
They were distinct enough twins characters that I fully got immersed in that entire thing, and I actually will tip my hat to them for having to do every scene twice with each of these characters in the scenes.
And like, they had distinct personalities as well. So like,
and they had a lot of crossover scenes. They had a lot of crossover scenes, especially big scenes too, like in multiple people moving past and doing that sort of stuff. So I got to say, well done.
So much.
Can I beg of you, can one of you give me a synopsis?
Yes.
That is because the trailer, that first trailer gave me a feel, a vibe, and I was kind of like, okay, I think I know where we're at, but what I need is some kind of a plot synopsis.
It's Jim Crow era Mississippi. Uh-huh. These two brothers come back from Chicago and they want to set up a juke joint. And they get their friends and they start their little thing, and then they've got a cousin that plays music, and the premise of the opening of the film is like, some people are so blessed with a musical talent that it can pierce the veil and attract evil. And so maybe some evil shit goes down.
There was a request for you to do it in a shit accent.
Well, I ain't going to give you no Southern Mississippi accent here.
It's a really good, it has a really strong vibe of like that American Gothic.
It's got like a little like voodoo shit happening as Like, it was really good.
I thought
good.
There was a bit of voodoo going on in there.
If anybody has read American Vampire by Scott Snyder, the graphic novel, similar vibes.
It's really strange because it was so
it's
strong.
Like that kind of voodoo, spooky kind of 1930s Americana.
It's so strong you also, I think, said, Jill, about it. It was like, when it had you in the pocket, and then why did it keep
popping
you out?
And then it did like one little crazy. You described it as a record scratch, and I was like,
It's a little bit of like, what? You know, that was a jar. And there was there's a distinct bit of jarring, but I feel like that big jar, which I don't want to give away, I think that was definitely a stylistic choice that was unnecessary, but there were more choices, I think, added on that I felt felt like interference, because it didn't trust the audience. And that's one of the
things.
There were
a couple of moments where they kind of did callback things that made you feel like you were dumb because you couldn't remember it. But I remembered very clearly what they had told us before.
You know,
you really didn't have to show us that again to remind us, because you're treating us like we're stupid.
The voiceover at the start, which is an exposition narrative, which is then reinforced by them saying the same thing again in that scene, and then also showing us, like, it's kind of like, yeah, we understood that the first time around. Are you telling us that we're dumb? Which is such a shame, because some of the ideas were great. Like, you know, it's a horror story, which has some tropes that you understand, but like, they played with those tropes in an interesting way. So that's good. Like, yeah, you always want a horror story that takes some stereotypes and moves them in different ways. But then it also did some dumb shit, didn't it, Jill? It did some dumb shit at the end there, where it just forgot how many people were in a room. Like, that was there's a big climactic kind of battle.
There was very definitely like that's a mistake.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's kind of like there are definitely only six people left, and then when they do the big battle, how come all of these random people are getting killed? And you're like, who were they?
Yeah. But where did they come from? They just want it to be creepier and scarier than Nope. And I'll tell you, yes, there's Nope had like a weird foreboding about it because it was ambiguous. This is very much, it's telling you what it's doing, and it's super gory. So if you like that kind of horror, then you'll be satisfied with Sinners. There were a few moments where the jump scares were decent. So.
Yeah,
okay. That's a good jump. Would Peter have been deeply uncomfortable?
100%. Deeply,
yeah.
Up to about halfway in the film, and then she'd be out of there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
two of the things that I will praise, like, to the end of the day, great story for black voices about black people
100%.
Doing interesting things and telling that story. And also the soundtrack is fucking amazing.
Oh, my God. Yeah, the music is great.
Really good.
What's his name? Goranson, that does the score and stuff for Star Wars these days, was on this film. So, yeah it was good shit.
Nice. Yeah, and also not the music you expect. It did a lot of different music. Well, not different music, but music you weren't expecting, and it does it all very well because it's really kind of blues. It's talking about the blues. It gets a little bit too up its own ass about talking about music and culture, which is where the record scratch moment comes in. But in terms of the, you know, characters, the acting, the story, the narrative, it's all really engaging. Everyone's doing a really great job with it. So, yeah, it is kind of like, swing. You know, when it swings and it hits, it's out of the park. But when it misses, it's such a bad miss that everyone's like, oh, shit. Which is so strange.
That's an uncomfortable balance, isn't it? Where you're like, oh, this is really fucking great. And then it'll take a massive swing and you're left feeling like...
The missteps are pretty minor compared to how good the rest of it is, though. Like,
okay, cool.
Yeah. It's easy to overlook those things. And they may not be as affectatious as they were to us. Like, other people might not think nothing of it. Like, they'll just be like, oh, yeah, cool. That's part of the story. So, yeah.
Okay. You saw it in IMAX, is that right?
Yes, it was filmed for IMAX as well. But it's strange. There were, like, a few scenes where it was, like, very obviously an IMAX scene, and then there were others where it was like, that just looks like regular letterbox film. So yeah, there was a bit of mix of formatting. It was interesting.
Okay. Yeah, it was strange. Some of it was crisp and beautiful and wonderful, and then other bits were like, oh, this is not right. But interesting, good narrative, quite tight, really enjoyed it, was down for it. And then got pulled out of it, like going, why did you make that choice? That wasn't quite good. But, you know, in this current, film world of strange releases that's coming out at the moment, it's a lot better than a lot of other stuff he is thinking about seeing. So I can recommend it. Like, it's more of a horror scare kind of movie that is that way. It's not going to be a boring blockbuster. But, yeah.
Is it going to have that sort of blockbuster pull, though? Because, like, they're saying it needs to make $185 million to kind of wash its face, so to speak. Do you reckon it'll have broad appeal?
I think there'll be enough fans of Ryan Coogler and Michael B. Jordan from, like, Creed and Black Panther and stuff that there would be interest to go and see this movie. And I think the trailer is quite intriguing. I think it would get bums in seats, but I wouldn't say it's like huge blockbuster.
It's
because, again, like a black story is still pretty niche to a lot of people.
Yeah,
and it doesn't probably play well in the US. May not necessarily have that appeal out.
I feel like there's a bit of studio squeaky bum time with it, where it. Like, based on that trailer, people were a bit confused about the thing they were going to see, so they kind of pushed out another trailer that explained, oh, no, it's actually about this. And it's like, I don't know if that's helping your cause there, man. This is more of an underground. Like, this doesn't need to be a blockbuster. This is a solid fucking film, which would have a twist, which would people be going, oh my God, you've got to go see it. Like, opening weekend wouldn't be great, but it would do well over a few weeks as people go, hey, you should just go see Sinners. It's great compared to what's out there at the moment.
Yeah. Compared to Working Man. That's for sure.
Yeah, fuck Working Man. He's done. But you know, funnily enough, what's fucking smashing at the box office? Minecraft. Fucking who picked that?
Yeah.
Who picked that shit?
So I guarantee you at the moment the whole entire American film industry is currently having a squeaky bum time.
Yeah.
As China is currently going, we don't want your fucking films.
Yeah.
All of those tariffs also apply to your entertainment material.
Mm.
Yeah. Wow. And suddenly budgets and income from films drops by a few $100 million per film.
Estimated revenue has suddenly changed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Good times.
Anyway, thanks everyone. I'm
going to see if I can go see it because it does sound like.
Oh yeah, I highly recommend. Yeah,
it was cool. Very cool.
Get out there in the cinema and watch it, and you know that's a fun one. You know, there's not much else out there at the moment to do. So.
So we are coming up on some fun stuff, which I'm excited for. Like, I'm legitimately excited for Thunderbolt.
I hope it'll be good.
I'm very keen for that, and everything I see for it makes me go, I'm on board with it. I want it to be great. So
I mean, it can't be any worse than Captain America 4.
I mean, it could. That wouldn't be a good time for anybody.
isn't the Until Dawn scary movie coming out by Sony next week?
The game Until Dawn?
Yeah, I've heard absolutely nothing about it. I think it's supposed to be coming out next week.
Yeah, I mean, there are an awful lot of 2025 film. Wow.
Yeah, April 25. I heard nothing about that one.
Nope. Don't even know who's distributing it here in Australia.
Sony. There you go. Oh, it's Sony. A Sony one. Yeah, yeah. But heard nothing about that, but I can say that Sinners is a definite lock for a scary film. Until Dawn may not be so
great.
I
mean, I've never played the games of Until Dawn, so...
Neither have I.
However, it does have Peter Stormare in there, so...
I'm just passing time until Andor, let's be honest.
I have been passing time in a very joyous way, however, because this weekend saw the resumption of Doctor Who and The Last of Us Season 2.
God, I've got so much TV to get through.
Fun fact, I have never played The Last of Us Part 2 as a computer game.
Oh, dude.
And I already have people telling me about things and I'm like, can you shut the fuck up? Because I've not played it. So I don't know. I'm watching season 2 like, what's going to happen?
I will not say a single fucking thing about it at all because
it's
a whole fucking thing. And also, as we found from season 1, things that you think, oh, okay, that's totally going to be a thing, you know, from the games, may be completely fucking changed.
Yeah.
Like episode 3 with Frank and Bill.
Yep. So, no, but can't just don't go back.
Sorry.
Can't talk about that it. It's too early. Yeah. It's too soon.
But that is not in the game in the slightest.
No.
And that was one of the most beautiful episodes of fucking TV ever. So.
Also, don't forget for everyone to do your watching over Easter, because when we come back after Easter, which will be another Wednesday, because there's another screening on a Tuesday, so we had to change to Wednesday, is going to be Daredevil, Yellow Jackets, and Andor, and maybe something else we don't know yet.
Oh yeah, Daredevil finale tonight.
Yeah,
I watched it already.
Oh shit!
Yeah, watched it before we started the stream.
I
didn't even realize it was the final, and I was like, "Oh no. Fuck! Can't wait for the next episode." Joke's on me.
At least they've actually. I'm pretty sure they've mostly filmed season 2. So.
Like, three.
This is season 2.
Oh, right. Fuck. Oh, my God. I forgot where we were.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Oh, my God. Anyway, I have some
Got some hot opinions?
Yeah.
Hot takes.
I'm out of words.
I better get around and start
vocab's
watching.
Vocab's exhausted.
I better get around and start watching Daredevil.
Yep, yeah. You should probably do that.
Yeah.
I've got to finish Yellow Jackets this week too.
Yes.
Yeah, finish that one. That was an intriguing one.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm. Right. Lots to catch up on. There's, as always, there's lots of fucking TV happening out there. Yeah. Good luck keeping up. I was talking to somebody the other day about, new Black Mirror has also started and finished. It's, it's binged on Netflix. So you can watch all of the Black Mirrors and holy fuck, is it bleak.
That's just the news cycle.
Mm.
Stop just watching the news cycle, Grinny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I watched the first one and I was like, like it's really good, but at the same time, there's a certain level of having your reality reflected back at you that
so
you start going, oh Jesus Christ.
Christ.
The first, I'll just so you've got a rough idea. The first Black Mirror, I've only watched the one, is about somebody who has a brain injury. And so they go through a new procedure where that part of their brain is removed and backed up to the cloud. And then that part of the brain is replaced with a computery bit so that those memories, that part of you is constantly being accessed from the cloud. Now, that sounds like, a bit creepy and a bit horrific, but all you need to know about it is pop-up ads. That's it.
Oh.
It's dark. It's so fucking dark.
Speaking of weird thing I've just noticed right now, we're all wearing a plain t-shirt tonight. Jill's wearing white, Grinny's wearing black, and I'm wearing grey. It's like a weird... That's funny. We didn't even time this. I thought. I'm the opinion in between both of yours. Jill's the right opinion, Quinny's the wrong opinion, and I'm the middling opinion, just trying to keep the flat earthers and the round earthers together.
Wow.
Yeah.
Look, there is so much exciting stuff happening this weekend besides Easter. Star Wars Celebration is on in Japan this weekend, and fucking WrestleMania, bitches!
Forgot that.
Get ready for 4 days of wrestling. We have SmackDown. We have WrestleMania Day 1, WrestleMania Day 2, and then we got Raw. Fucking bring it on.
I just love it. It's like, Jill, how was your Easter? It's like, I fucking knocked a guy out with a chair.
Yes, I gave him a German suplex and then a tornado DDT. It was amazing. I received a care package today from my besties in Adelaide. I now am the proud owner of the Undisputed Championship belt, and I have a Cody Rhodes t-shirt, so I'm going to be decked out on the couch watching WrestleMania this weekend.
WrestleMania.
I am so impressed. I thank you for the reminder. I may actually turn that on because it's on Netflix.
Yes.
Sure.
And
it's been solidly 20 years since I've watched any wrestling.
Now is a great time to eat chocolate eggs and hot cross buns and watch WrestleMania.
And sit on your ass for 4 hours for 2 days straight.
Yep, exactly.
Guys, if you're into wrestling, send me your predictions. Who do you think's going to win? Who do you want to see win? Right. What kind of chaos do you want to see come out of the wins?
My prediction.
I want to see mankind come back. In the middle of a massive cage match, from underneath the ring, I want to see mankind crawl back up with Mr. Socko and start just fucking suplexing everybody all over the ring. I know that that's never going to happen. I'd also like to see Goldberg come back, but I'm pretty sure he's now 80-something.
Mine's pretty easy. My prediction is Undertaker. He'll be back again. The Undertaker will turn.
He was back last year.
Yeah, see?
I don't know if he'll be back again.
He is also one of the ones who's very, very proudly MAGA, so...
Okay.
But yeah. So is Hogan. He got the shit booed out of him.
Yeah. Okay. Then I'm going to go for my second choice. It's the Iron Sheik. He will come back and take out. Hey.
Well, do you think Cena is going to win the belt?
Oh, because he went full.
He sold his soul to The Rock. Will he get his 17th championship win?
Actually, if that's the case, I would like to see John Cena, you know, who has sold his soul to The Rock, then be attacked by Jack Black, who has also sold his soul. And then they could both redeem themselves, get their souls back. Jack Black calls Kyle Gass onto the stage. They all do a massive fucking clothesline suplex on The Rock. And so, I don't think that's going
to
happen.
That's 101 odds for Quinny.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm not seeing it happening.
Don't put money on that one, guys.
Yeah. WrestleMania. Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Okay, everyone, thanks for joining us tonight. There was good. A lot of TV and film to wrap up and do. It's around. I need the whip crack. Where is it? Yeah, there we go.
No!
Maybe I'll just add it all in post.
Quinny, no.
Have a great Easter and break or holiday.
Could you be any more annoying?
We'll see you all again at the end of the month.
Yes. 30th. Don't come back next week.
No, we're not going to.
No,
be
we
here.
Won't.
Be running off our Easter eggs.
Yeah.
We might play some railroads or something. I don't even know how to do that.
You have to wrestle off our Easter eggs. In WrestleMania.
I'll be doing a solo show next week talking about WrestleMania.
Not on this place.
Actually, well, you could
on our own phone, just a TikTok.
Cinema, except it's just Jill on a couch getting drunk watching WrestleMania.
Nice.
Good time.
All right, everybody. We'll see you next time. Have a happy holiday.
Enjoy your break. Be safe. Bye.
Happy Easter, everybody.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Periodic Table of Awesome podcast. If you have questions, please email info@theperiodictableofawesome.com. Find us on our website, www.theperiodictableofawesome.com, where there's links to our iTunes, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and Twitch. Until next time, stay awesome.